You're listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit www.ofgnomesanddwarves.com. So what do you think? Aardman shrugged his shoulders. A lot of help you are. Keep an eye on things up here. I'm going to go back and see what's up with the kid. If there's anything interesting other than all that black out there to look at, let me know. Aardman barked. Well, if you're hungry, go and get something to eat. Vic got up and walked back to the kitchen. He'd heard June talking with Joey, and he'd even heard the metal feet of XPX-39 clatter down the hall. Hopefully the little machine was finally talking with Tootsie and getting her straightened out. Why I ever spent so much on that neurotic bucket of bolts is beyond me. June and Joey were still sitting at the table in the kitchen talking. June was eating, but not Joey. The kid had tried to jump him. It was an impressive jump. Was doubtful he could do it again on a whim, though. None of that mattered, though. Joey was here, and he was here to stay. There was no going back anymore. If he was here to stay, he needed to be prepared. There was only one thing that was going to prepare him. Vic had to tell him everything that had happened. That wasn't going to be easy to hear. Hey. They both looked up. June smiled. Joey looked up. His eyes were full of fear. Maybe if I smile like Aardman did. Vic made himself laugh at that. That eased Joey's expression a little. He didn't want to scare the kid any more than he needed to be. So, June, you want to hang around and hear this? I know you didn't do so good the first time I told you. He wanted her to stay. He knew she didn't like him the way he wanted her to like him, but she didn't dislike him either. He was hard on her from time to time, but he had to be. If he let up even a little bit, she'd be sure to slide back into her depression. The only reason she didn't was because of his intervention. He'd seen how bad it could get, and she had to know things here on board the SS Acid Rat were great compared to where she could have wound up.
I would, Vic, but I've got to take care of some things.
Figures. Then you can get me a beer. I want to relax when I tell this one. June returned with a beer and promptly left. Vic put his feet up on the table and cracked the beer. Kid, I got here much the same way you did. Only thing was, I thought I'd find my old man. I mean, where else would that machine put me except somewhere near my dad, right? Seems my mom thought the same thing. Plus, she was getting really tired of me going out all the time and getting myself into trouble. I guess she thought my dad would shape me up. She puts me into that machine and... Vic was certain that his eyes had been turned inside out. Not only his eyes, but the rest of his body as well. He wanted to vomit, but his stomach wasn't in the right place. Or was it? His arms wanted to search for his body, but couldn't. Instead, they flopped helplessly about. The room was cold and dark, but not nearly as cold as he'd been just a few minutes ago. Vic shivered and suddenly longed to be back home. After several convulsions, he was able to get control of himself.
"Where am I?"
Vic asked rhetorically, but he got an answer.
"Don't talk,"
a hushed voice said.
"They'll come if you talk."
The rough and weary voice was oddly familiar. It sounded like the voice of an ancient man who'd been sent to this hole to die. Despite the warning not to talk, Vic felt the urge to do so.
"Who are you?"
He tried to keep his voice at a whisper. The man shushed. The room's acoustics dulled all sound. Even so, Vic was able to tell the person was close by because he could hear him breathing. Vic's mind refused to accept what had just happened. He'd traveled somehow, and his mother said that his father had built a machine to send people into space. Being in a dark room with a strange person was not what he'd expected. He had visions of Star Trek-type ships flying around the galaxy, or at the very least Flash Gordon-style ships. Anything but this dark, quiet room with an old man in it. A warm hand touched his arm and helped him to his feet. Vic opened his mouth to say, "Thank you," but refrained. The old man put his lips to Vic's ears. Whiskers brushed his ear, and he could smell the man's foul breath as he whispered so softly Vic wasn't sure he had intended to speak.
"You are an Adrogi in prison. They abhor sound. Here, sound is a crime."
"Why?" Vic asked in a whisper, and the man nudged him.
"You must speak as quietly as you can, or they will come."
Vic turned to the man. His head wobbled slightly as if he'd been drinking far too much the night before. His body felt weak. Talking, even in whispers, was a struggle. They took turns whispering to each other.
"Where am I?" on a planet on the outskirts of the galaxy. You're as far from the GCP as you can be.
GCP?
Galactic Central Point.
That still meant nothing to him, but he didn't want to belabor the topic.
What's going to happen to us? If we're lucky, nothing.
Vic felt the urge to retch and gagged. He had a coughing fit. The old man covered Vic's head with a rough blanket to try and muffle the sound further. Vic wasn't sure if it did any good or not. White spots danced in his eyes for several seconds afterwards, and he heard a ringing in his ears. He'd never coughed so hard. It was as if his body was rebelling against him. His breath rattled in his chest afterwards. The old man removed the blanket.
"They're coming,"
the man whispered. A tiny white light on the wall in front of the cell flashed on and off. The door swished open with a gentle gust and fresh-smelling air. Vic felt something that wasn't a hand grab his arms and lift him up. Thankfully, they were strong enough to carry him, for his body wasn't about to function. Something pushed into his neck, and he lost time. When Vic came around, he felt much better, and could see, though there was little to look at. Everything had a pale glow about it, and for the most part was either black or dark gray. The walls had a strange textured pattern to them that must be for muffling sound. Who would find sound so offensive that it would be a crime just to speak? Vic tried to move his arms. He was strapped in by large manacles that were constructed of a soft material. He tried to pull away from the wall and was drawn back to it with a soft thud. He tried this twice with no luck. Damn! Shh! The old man was strapped to the wall next to Vic. Why the old guy was shushing him now didn't make any sense. They were obviously already in more trouble. Vic wanted to scream, and his body felt good enough to do just that. The man's face had a familiar look to it. In a strange way, it reminded him of his grandfather. But that was impossible, wasn't it? Before he had a chance to dwell on it further, two beings with large heads, beady eyes, dark gray skin, and tentacles came to pull Vic and his unknown partner off the wall. The beings had swords of some type of jagged edge that looked like oversized saws. Vic wondered how quietly those worked. Nothing was said as Vic and the old man were dragged down a dimly lit hallway. Despite his struggling efforts, Vic couldn't free himself. The beings didn't even flinch when he pulled. He tried to plant his feet, but they were picking up speed, and he had to fight just to maintain his balance. The two were unceremoniously pushed through a set of double doors and onto a field of sand. At least it looked like a field. That was before Vic noticed, thanks to the slightly brighter lighting, it was surrounded by a stadium. He got up and brushed himself off, then helped the old man. One of the beings jabbed Vic in the back. He jumped forward and turned around. It prompted him again, and he started walking into the middle of the sand-covered arena. Every seat in the arena was filled. Tentacles waved excitedly or threw objects down to the sand. They were taunting. That's what they were doing. By tossing things to the sand, they wanted to degrade the prisoners. Vic was repulsed. He'd done nothing wrong. This was stupid. He spun around and faced the beings. "What did I do?" The two beings exchanged glances and actually fell back a few feet. Vic pressed forward, but was halted by their weapons. He could have been mistaken, but they actually looked afraid and confused with their beady little eyes shifting from side to side and pushing their swords forward. Vic turned and continued plodding deeper into the sandy arena. When they finally stopped, they were just shy of being halfway across the arena. He squinted and could see two other people standing about 100 feet away. In the low light, it was difficult to make out what they looked like, but they seemed to be naked. At least he still had his clothes on. Vic turned around to yell at the guards again, but they were gone. They were gone. The two other people were standing and waiting. In the seats, Vic could make out the waving of the tentacles. His heart beat faster. He was going to have to fight. He was in an arena, and he was about to have a fight, and possibly for his life. He might end up dead when this was over. He and this old guy who looked like his grandfather. Joey sat up straight. Vic had trailed off right in the middle of his story.
And?
Vic nearly fell over as if Joey had just woken him up from a nap.
And what, kid?
What happened?
Vic, who had lit a cigarette at some point, snuffed out his smoke and got another from his pocket. Why didn't he just get on with it? Joey wanted to yell at him. There were 4 beer cans on the table. Joey had been so engrossed in the story that he hadn't even noticed when these had been gotten. Despite Vic sounding like a bad Star Trek episode, Joey wanted to hear more. Vic moved slowly as he took a drag off his cigarette and blew a plume of smoke into the air. You see, kid, I had no idea what was going on. I was in this weird place where everyone wanted to be quiet, and I just wanted to know what the hell was going on. A couple of whispers later, and I was in this big arena, preparing to fight for my life. My brain still wasn't working at full speed. You know what that's like. But I think they gave me something, because I was doing a lot better than you and June did when you got here.
So, what did you do?
Vic leaned in close to Joey. The smell of tobacco and beer was strong on his breath. He pointed at Joey with a cigarette and closed his eyes.
Vic!
I tell you, kid, you got to quit screaming.
Get on with the story. What happened next?
Oh, that. So you see, this old guy turns to me and says...
Run, Victor!
Victor? This guy knows my name. The old guy was running, his robes wafting up behind him. How do you know my name? Vic asked in a shout as he ran after the man. Who are you? A glance over his shoulder and Vic could see the two figures that he thought were people hunker down and gaining on them with frightening speed. He ran harder.
Did your mother send you, Victor?
The man asked between gasping breaths.
Dad?
Vic, as best he could while running at full speed, looked at the man's eyes. The deep, steely blue was his father's, but this man was old, very old. His dad had only been gone a few years, and he wasn't that old to begin with.
I've been stuck here for nearly 70 years, Victor. I came here in search of a new life. This is what I came to.
70 years?
Time isn't the same once you get off our planet. I haven't figured it out yet, but everything has shifted. Being in that dark cell all these years, I haven't been able to test any of my theories, but I have to assume that it somehow sent you forward in time, where I am as you see me now.
They crested a small dune, and Vic pulled his father to the ground. I want some answers now, Dad. First, how do we get out of this?
I'm afraid we don't. We can't.
There has to be a way. We must be able to do something to get out of here. Vic poked his head up. The beasts he saw with their dog heads and, how many, 4 arms, were nearly upon them. These things were going to tear them apart with nothing more than a thought. Vic took up a handful of sand. It was all they had. That and their clothes. Well, it worked in the Westerns, right?
Dad, let's throw sand in their faces.
Are you kidding me? I don't know what we're facing here, but I'm sure we won't win against them.
Well, what do you propose? Stay here and die? What are they making us fight for, anyway?
Isn't that obvious? They're entertainment. Either we die, or the other two die. It's really quite simple.
Have you been here before?
Yes, but not against anything nearly as different as these two look.
One of the beasts flew over the dune and spun around, teeth bared and ready to strike. Its forearms were massively muscled, and it flexed and let out a hoarse scream. Vic fumbled for a handful of sand and was not able to get a handful. He had to do something, anything. He wasn't just going to sit here and die.
Wait! Stop!
The beast cocked his head. Had it understood?
We don't want to kill you. Do you really want to kill us?
The second beast came over the dune and crashed into the first. They barked and growled at each other. Then their attention was back on Vic. He blinked several times to make sure he wasn't just imagining all this.
Talk to them, son. I think they want to hear you out.
Yeah, right.
Vic stood up and held his open palms out. God, I hope the shields of them I don't mean any harm.
I think with your help, all 4 of us can get out of here.
The beasts exchanged glances. One looked back and nodded for Vic to go on.
These things don't like noise. Maybe if we make enough of it, they'll get scared and they'll run away.
One of them snarled. Well, to Vic it made sense.
No, we just go into the stands and make a lot of noise. They're not going to be expecting it. If we can get a weapon or 2 from a guard, we'll be in luck.
The beasts were shaking their heads.
Are you an idiot?
Vic's father asked.
Make a lot of noise? What kind of plan is that?
It's the best I've got. Work with me, Dad.
I've got a plan. Chase us, but let us get far enough away that it looks good. Then chase us up into the stands. The wall is low enough, and we can scare them away and be down an exit tunnel before they know what happened.
That sounds a lot like my plan.
Yes, but we don't have to worry about the making a lot of noise part.
One of the beasts nodded and pointed to the right.
Come on, Victor. We're running this way.
Hector grabbed Vic's arm and pulled him along. The sand wasn't the easiest thing to run on, but at least they weren't running for their lives anymore. Well, not death from those beasts, anyways. Is this even going to work? The side of the arena neared, and Vic could see the low wall. The spectators, with their wiggling tentacles, looked as if they were cheering. The two beasts were coming up from behind, and coming up quickly once again. There were no guards in the immediate vicinity of where they were planning to run. Hector cleared the low wall without breaking stride. Vic wasn't nearly as graceful. His foot caught on the top of the wall, and he fell onto the stairs. The seats near where he fell were now vacant and more clearing as the two beasts pounded up the sand to the wall. The first leapt, and appeared to be taking chase of Hector. These two were good at this. They looked really convincing. Four hands grabbed Vic, and he was hefted into the air. The second beast held Vic aloft and shook him and howled. If there was any moment when the plan could have gone horribly wrong, this was it. Hadn't the stupid creature understood? They weren't really supposed to fight, just run. Put me down! The creatures nearby cringed. They were scared of the sound the dog thing made. Vic screamed as if he was being torn apart. They pressed even further away. The beast slung Vic over one shoulder and pounded up the steps after the others. It wasn't stupid. It was putting on a show. It wanted everyone to think that this was all part of the killing. The steps and subsequent passageway were empty. They sped down the passageway, and Vic could hear his father scream. That's what was helping clear the way. After several twists and turns, they were outside. For the first time, Vic caught a glimpse of the sun. It was distant and dark, barely more than a blue ball in the sky. The two beasts were now carrying Vic and his dad. They ran as if they knew where they were headed, growling and barking all the way down the cobbled streets, and any of the tentacle creatures that they encountered quickly moved aside. Apparently this idea of making a lot of noise was what they needed to do. The squat buildings all looked the same, but there was something in the way that they ran and turned that Vic knew everything was going to be all right. Suddenly it didn't matter that his dad was really old. He was here, and he was back together with him. He was going to be able to talk to his dad. They could zip around space and even go back to Earth and get his mom. This was the best. A building larger than all other buildings came into view. There was a sign upon it, but Vic couldn't make out what it said. "What's that?" the beast growled. "I didn't get that." It growled louder. So what's your name?"
"Argmon,"
it grunted and ran on. Well, at least he knew this thing's name now. Didn't know what good that would do him, but at least it was something. The first beast had stopped at the entrance to the building and was in the process of wrestling with the door. The second, Argmon, joined in, and they tore the door off its hinges. All four ran inside. The building was one massive room inside. It was filled with spaceships. Vic had seen enough movies that he knew what a spaceship looked like, and these were even better than anything he'd expected. If the two beasts were also prisoners, this must be some type of impound yard or something like that. The first beast pointed to Argmon and a ship. It was a huge ship. Next to it was a similar ship, but smaller. Vic wanted to stop and look all around, but the first beast and his father were already running to the smaller ship, and Argmon was almost to the larger ship. Vic rushed to catch up. A shower of sparks descended upon him. He hadn't heard anything, but when he looked back, four tentacled beasts were aiming weapons and preparing to fire again. They even had silent weapons. That was weird. How did they manage that? All thoughts of silent weapons were put out of his mind when the second shot came a little too close. He followed Argmon up a small ladder into the ship. When he was nearly at the top, Argmon reached down and pulled him inside and slammed the door closed with a resounding clang. It was so nice to have sound back. Vic had thought he was going to go insane from all the silence and quiet. Argmon wasted no such time with contemplation. Instead, he pounded along the passageway. Vic tried to keep up, but kept stopping to look at everything he passed. He didn't want to miss anything. Argmon turned and growled at him to go faster. Vic complied. They stopped in the cockpit that would become very familiar to Vic over the years. He strapped in, and Argmon launched the ship through the roof of the impound building. Out of the viewport, just behind them, the smaller ship followed. They were getting away. This was great. Vic felt alive and vitalized. This was the best time of his life. He and his dad were going to be renegades. On the run. His father was alive. What an incredible feeling. A bright flash of light off the side of the ship blinded Vic for a moment. When his vision cleared, he could see debris of the smaller ship drifting back down towards the planet. Joey didn't even know what to say. He'd been wrapped up in the story, only to have everything crash down. It was all so unfair. Vic had given up his life with his mother to find his father, he wasn't even sure was alive, only to find him and watch him die. How tragic. Vic was lying down on the bench. He exhaled a plume of smoke into the air. The beer cans on the table had multiplied, and the ashtray was now filled with butts. Joey looked down at the can in his hand. Apparently he'd been drinking, too.
That's my story, kid. Take it for what it's worth.
I tried to go home. I can't tell you how long that took trying to explain it to Argamon where Earth was, let alone trying to figure out how to talk with him. You know what I found there, and had to relive when June wanted to go back there.
Yeah.
I'm not going back there again. I just can't do it, kid. Vic sat up and propped his head into his hands. You see, I just don't have it in me anymore. I've put all that behind me. I've moved on. Seeing you was bad enough. Hearing about my mom wasn't the easiest thing. If I had a way to go back, I'd have done that by now. But that's not going to happen. Ever. Vic's face clouded over. Joey was sure the man was devastated. How could he not be? Seeing his own father blown to bits just after finding him, and being thrust into a bizarre situation? The weight of Joey's situation, though nearly equally as strange, wasn't nearly as bad. He hadn't even had the chance to say goodbye, or to think about never seeing his parents again. June's situation was the same.
Look, kid, I've got to get back up to the cockpit. I've still got to get this load delivered.
Vic's hand slipped on the table and he nearly fell to the floor. Joey jumped up to try and help him out, but the effects of the beer was hitting his head as well. June appeared.
Here, Vic.
She handed him something, a pill. He popped it, then took several deep breaths.
Thanks, June.
Vic got up and left. Joey suddenly felt alone, despite June being there. Her nose was red and her eyes were swollen. She'd been crying.
Are you all right? Yeah. I thought not being in the same room would help when he told you about the story. Even though he's got this tough exterior, he's all torn up inside. I felt his pain as he told that story, as if it was happening to me.
Is it that psychic stuff?
I think so. I just wish it was something I had the ability to actually control.
Joey couldn't think of anything to say. He felt so inept to handle this. He wanted to just run away like he had with his parents, but look where that had landed him. Even if he could run away, where would he run to? It wasn't like the ship went on forever. At some point he was going to have to face the reality that he was here, and this was his new life. The sooner he accepted that, the sooner he would be able to get on with his life.
So, how are you holding up?
Joey shrugged.
All right, I guess. There's just so much to think about. And you've only been here for a day. Wait until you've been here for a week, then a month, then a year. There's a lot more to think about, and you could be a lot worse off. I had Vic when I got here. You can see the deep compassion he shows.
June smirked.
You've got Mr. Compassion and me, so don't feel all alone. And yes, I know what you're feeling.
She knew how he felt? She could read minds, too?
I'm not a mind reader. It's just how I felt when I got here. Are you sure you can't read minds?
June laughed. Joey smiled, but it was strained. He had more to deal with than he ever thought life would deal him. He was supposed to be off to college in the summer, not outer space. His parents must be devastated. Must have been devastated.
Joey.
June snapped her fingers in front of Joey's face.
What? I was saying you've had a couple of beers. You want something to eat? That sounds like a great idea.
June got up and served a small but satisfying meal of bread and meats. At least it looked and tasted like meat. Joey could only think about sleep when he finished, and that's exactly what he did.
You've been listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information about this podcast and its author, please visit www.ofgnomesanddwarves.com. V&A Shipping is released under a Creative Commons, Attributions Only, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives Works 3.0. Feedback can be sent to jrmurdoch@ofgnomesanddwarves.com, or you can find me at Twitter or Facebook as J.R. Murdoch. There's a lot of podcast fiction out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this one.